Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm continuing a streak of calm shows, chill shows, because I still have an otitis. I can feel the pain in my ear as I speak, but by trying to speak slowly and chill with you guys, I hope that it won't be too hard to handle. I've taken some anti-inflammatories. Hopefully, they allow me to last like yesterday. Christmas slash winter shows. Yes, it is such a great time. Despite the fact that I suffer from otitis and sinus inflammation, I love December. This is one of my favorite months. I love the fall, but I love December as it gets really, really cold with the snow and you end up wanting to stay inside. That is so great. End of the line, Joel says, movie comedy is a dead art. Yeah, I mean, has it ever been an art? Because these comedies from the 90s, like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. I mean, was it really funny? It's kind of cringe when you look back at them. But yeah, I was watching this when I was young. But yeah, it's been a while since we haven't seen really that kind of stupid humor, low-level humor. When you think about it, it's weird that it ever was a market. People are talking about the all-time high of gold. Gold is at an all-time high. I'm super happy for gold. Not that I get gold at all, because I'm not a physical guy. I don't invest in the physical world, but anything that's good for gold will be good for Bitcoin in the right time. So I think that the reason people flee toward the gold market is the very same that people flee toward Bitcoin and then some, in the sense that Bitcoin, there's also other reasons to flee to Bitcoin, but one of them is inflation, whereas people headed toward gold are mostly interested in an edge against inflation. So I'm happy for gold, and I think Bitcoin is also doing extremely well. Surpassed the 39K today, and it seems like we are on this. You know, it's very hard to trade in these circumstances. Very hard to try to detect moments for shorts, because the fact of the bull run of Bitcoin is always you get wrecked if you go short. You never want to go short in a Bitcoin bull run. At best, if you want to beat the per Bitcoin holding, the best you can do is maybe use leverage toward the long, but even then you can get wrecked. So to me, I've concluded that trading in a Bitcoin bull run is useless. All you have to do is hold Bitcoin and set it at the peak. You'd better spend all of your years just thinking about when will the peak be, when will the peak be, and just focusing, rather than spend 12 hours a day just click, 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 trying to get these small price differences, and you're going to get in trouble, really, because it keeps going up and up and up, and you're like, oh, I'm going to hold on to it. Maybe it will go down now. No, it keeps going up. The Bitcoin bull run is like nothing on any other market. Steven Robinson says, JF, do you believe in Plan B's stock-to-flow model? Well, I used to believe in it, and last bull run, that's why I didn't sell my Bitcoin. I thought we were headed toward 100K, 120K. So I don't know if I should believe in it at this point. It certainly has lost credibility in my view, because it really misled me into keeping my Bitcoin. Now, I'm happy I kept my Bitcoin, but I would have liked to know that the peak would not have been 120K. But that the peak would have been 69K, because then I could have sold at 69K. Villains through modern eyes says, Jeff, I am unseizable. I initiated my divorce. I think I may get lucky. As a teen, she watched her mom destroy her dad's life through divorce and says she doesn't want that. What should I watch out for? Well, if you're unseizable, that is already a very good position to be in. Therefore, the only thing that you have to watch out for is trying to appropriate the kids, trying to create a history where she is the only caretaker of the kid. So pay attention. I don't know if you have kids, but if you do have kids, pay attention. She's going to try to get more control. She's going to try to get more days a week, just without the judge or anything, just at the start, to try to create a history that she can then use in front of the judge and say, see judge, he didn't have time. I had to care for the kids 5 days a week. So you want to, from the very start, you don't leave a single day more. If there is to be a split custody arrangement, you want to occupy the most space you possibly can. So if she's unavailable that night, you're available. I'm going to take the kid that night. And that way you create a history where you actually have a greater record of more custody than hers. That is one thing. The other thing you have to watch for is false allegations. Perhaps it's not a big risk in your case if she is really disgusted at this mechanism. But you never know. They can totally get brainwashed the first time they talk to a liar, because the liar will coach them to lie. The liar will be like, oh, well, given what you're giving me here, I don't think you're going to win. So do you have anything else? And that's how the liars get them to, oh, well, maybe he did abuse me, you know. So that's the other thing you want to check for. Anything that she will record of you that would show you pissed off, angry, or that kind of stuff. From here on out, you don't want to be angry at all. Don't want to elevate voice. Don't want to beat her. Don't want to do anything that you wouldn't do in front of the judge. Because you are under recording, you better assume it that way. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, JF, did you ever review 2001 A Space Odyssey? I didn't review it because I hate this movie. And I probably cannot ever truly review it. Because I hate this movie with a passion. It really annoys me that I was forced once to watch it. Because my alternative friend, I say alternative, like, you know, these people who are always interested in the alt stuff, like alt rock, alt music, alt cinematography. My alt friend was telling me, you have to watch 2001 Space Odyssey. It's a great movie. And it's like super slow and painful. Oh, the spaceship is moving. I'm not feeling it at all. I would have to be paid to be forced to watch it again. The Bird Flu says, JF, did you check out the three-body problem yet? Cerebral, you would like it. Yeah, well, I think there is a recent news about the three-body problem. Isn't it the case that they found a category of solutions to it? Yeah, the three-body problem is simply, how do you describe the gravity trajectory of three different planets? And you might think we know how to do this. As it turns out, it seems we don't. It seems we don't have kind of an efficient mathematical solution to it. Of course, we can build a model and we can play it out and rewind and fast forward the math of it. But we don't have an equation that is solved, apparently, for just three planets. Because you calculate the gravity of one planet toward the other, and then there's the other. But then the gravity of this one changes this one changes this one changes this one. And apparently it's too much for our current math. It is stunning that it's a problem. But yeah, I haven't digged into the details. I just know it that way, that is the three-body problem. I'm not super fascinated at these things. They are very technical thing, applied stuff. I'm not the kind of guy who will spend time on applied physics of that kind. I'm not a physicist anyway, so I'm not going to spend time on physics at all. Two words, Tucker Carlson, Greg Gutfeld, Gore's Fox after Musk blasts activist advertisers. Yeah, it's quite surprising to see that a man who works for Fox is allowing himself the liberty of attacking basically the Fox advertisers, saying that basically Tucker Carlson was pushed out of Fox because of some people who were too powerful and who asked it to happen. Greg Gutfeld has always been an insignificant clown, but it's interesting to see that he now stands as a, I don't know, is it a rebel position within Fox? I mean, it's very rare on cable TV that you see a cable TV person go after advertisers. What the fuck is he thinking? Speaker's Corner says, JF, tell me at which price you will do a little dance for us to celebrate the Bitcoin price this bull run. A price? You're gonna have to pay me. If you pay me, I can dance. As far as a dance of pure joy that I would initiate willfully without a super chat prompt. Okay, I guess if Bitcoin in this bull run reaches 200K USD, I'm willing to dance for free. But I don't know if I'm going to dance at that moment, because it's very possible if we reach 200K that I would have sold a little bit before, maybe at 120K, maybe at 160K. And so maybe I won't be in the mood to dance at 200K. Maybe I'll be like, ah, oh, I missed the opportunity to make a little more money. January 6th, committee tapes disappeared, says House Republican. The disappearance of videotape witness interviews conducted by the Democratic-led House Select Committee of the January 6th attack has alarmed the chairman of the House panel that replaced it. That's very worrying. You know, the Democrats, they force you publicly. They make the show the way they want to control it. And then when it doesn't go the way they like it, suddenly things disappear. I don't know exactly why these tapes have disappeared. Is it because they discovered that they stated things that ended up being wrong? They stated things that perhaps will be demonstrably false in the future based on incoming evidence. I don't know why the tapes disappeared, but it's all of the videotapes of all of the depositions are gone. I mean, this is someone trying to erase history. Deadstar says, did I miss your final say on Kissinger? Was his influence on America's China policy our death knell? Well, I don't know that much about Kissinger, so I don't think you missed any special moment of the show, because I didn't really comment. I said he was dead. I know that he was one of these kind of old school pro-Jewish war ox. That's pretty much how I know it and all I know from him. So, of course, I'm not super sympathetic to his sets of interest. I don't have a particular analysis to give you, though, about what he caused in American history. I mean, it's just in line with what I've been complaining about America forever. So I guess he is he stands as the pillar of everything that I oppose to. The Bird Flu says, hey, Jeff, how does Napoleon compare to Master and Commander? I didn't watch Master and Commander. I don't even know what it is, so I'm going to have to research it. Napoleon is an acceptable movie, but barely good even. Hard to place into even a good movie. Black Tie says, Dead Star says, fucking watch it. Well, that's quite impolite. But okay, I'll watch it. Black Tie says, corruption ramped up drastically in the last 15 years. Yes, and this was discussed by Richard Spencer and Nick Fuentes in the recent interview. The Democrats are totally going mask off. Like, we don't care. We're going to use the legal system to go after our enemies. And it's shocking. It's incredible that it's happening because, you know, it's very petty, this going after Donald Trump. You're not really going to stop Donald Trump. If anything, you're going to make his base more enthusiastic because, let me tell you, the American public is totally willing to vote for a martyr. I mean, when you consider how they admire Jesus Christ, it's like the American mind is totally into taking the side of the oppressed. They are ready for it, at least. They're not going to take the side of any oppressed, but if they perceive that there is a witch hunt against Trump, Trump can very well win the next presidency. And yes, the Democrats are totally transparent in their use of power at this point. And you wonder if there's anything left of a kind of supposedly fair legal system, or is that totally behind us? Like, is the law still playing some kind of role of pursuing actual criminals, or did they just drop this behind and it's like, no, at this point we need to focus and use it in a petty and childish manner every single case, because you see actual criminals get these easy sentences and these attenuating factors to their sentences. It's unbelievable. Meet Aitana, Aitana, the first Spanish AI model earning up to $11,000 per month. Oh my God. An AI generated woman, ladies and gentlemen. It sucks to see it happen, but at the same time, we are on schedule. We are continuing the program. And what did I say about AI woman? They are good for society. They're good for society because they're going to occupy the e-tottery market, and they're going to make it super hard for human e-tots to compete. Because the human e-tots, you know, she needs a break. Sometimes she's going to get a little bit of weight. She's going to put on a little bit of weight, and she's not going to be as nice. Sometimes she won't feel like doing the picture. Sometimes she won't feel like doing the extra, super chat-based call or private call, private session with her admirers. Whereas the AI-generated woman, she has infinite resources. And she will always be young and always be thin. Aitana Lopez is a 25-year-old woman with pink hair, brought to life by AI, created by Ruben Cruz, founder of the Barcelona-based modeling agency, The Clueless. Now, it's a total logical continuation of what's been happening forever, which is that this whole commerce of cute females on the internet, and that ranges from just having an Instagram to having cams, sessions, and admirers, the whole thing is operated by males. Because here's a fact about women. They don't have the discipline required to fully cash in on the tottery. They have the tottery, but they don't have the discipline. It requires discipline to be contacting all of these sims, to be entertaining these conversations, And the fact is that the woman brain can handle one or two simps, whereas to really get into the business, you need to be able to entertain 500 simps, which also means that most of these simps are masturbating at home to guys texting them, to Andrew Tate texting them, to the brother of Andrew Tate texting them. That is disgusting. But here, what you can see is Ruben Cruz. So basically, it's a modeling agency. The problem of the modeling agency is that working with these women is fucking painful. It's like they have their crises. They don't show up to appointments. They reserve a photograph and you reserve a whole photograph and they don't show up. And so the modeling agencies are like, holy shit, my thought performance is 20%. I'm losing 80% of my energy just running after thoughts because they prefer thoughting on the streets rather than thoughting on the internet, even if I pay their salary. And so this is where AI women come in. They are the perfect replacement, the perfect employee for these modeling agencies. So now this girl has an account of 187,000 followers. In an interview, Cruz told that he decided to design Lopez after having trouble working with real models and influencers. See, I hadn't even read it, and I knew this was it. The problem is that real women are a fucking pain in the ass, whether you're a husband or a pimp or an internet pimp. It's like, it's a fucking liability. And now we have replaced that liability with the AI woman. No psychiatric disorder, no issues, no crises. She is perfect. Cruz explained that Lopez was designed with a distinct personality based on what society finds most appealing. On the agency's website, she is described as a strong and determined woman and a passionate Scorpio. She has a love for video games, of course. Of course. If you're going to build the perfect woman, why not make it fictitious? Oh, she just likes video game. I mean, it just turns out that way. For each advert, she can make just over 1,000 euros, earning anywhere from 3,000 euros to 10,000 euros per month. Atana's success story signifies a shift in digital advertising. An AI role, it's not just a triumph for Clueless Agency, but a glimpse into the future of marketing. Get ready for Atana and other AI models to transform advertising. Well, I believe we are initiating the thought squeeze. I have spoken a lot about the normie squeeze. The economic system will be putting pressure onto the normies until there's nothing left. It's going to drain all of their effort. It's going to make their hourly work schedule impossible, and they're going to be paid less and less in Bitcoin value. And now we are entering the thought squeeze. So we are about to see, I predict, a bunch of e-tots who are begging on the internet because they can't find a job even though they are sexy enough, because they get outcompeted from the market by AI. It's going to be fascinating. DK Shadow says the tot squeeze will be sweet. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be a generation of women who have had that job when it was possible, but they will have become useless to society. They will have acquired a specialization that society doesn't need anymore. Doubting Thomas says, JF, Master and Commander was the most boring movie I ever watched. This was a very bad first movie date choice I made as a teenager. Well, okay. I was almost certain not to watch it. I guess now I really won't watch it. John Drake says, I'm worried about TRP. I could see some countries offering biological robots to those that can pay in the not too distant future. Can't be a great thing for human reproduction. Yes. Well, it depends. The robots, are they reproductive or not? Because if they're not reproductive, they're merely like porn. And they have the same degree of danger as porn, which is, okay, maybe they get you out of the physical world and they attract you toward a false signal. But ultimately, you keep your ability to reproduce. If they reproduce these biological machines, then they are a revolutionary phenotype. Eddie L. CEO Greenblatt is losing his mind.
Mob boss at the ADL lost it on The Morning Joe, claiming that his Jewish children don't feel safe in their elite private school because some people aren't supporting the Zionist war in Gaza. Here he is making threats to anti-Zionists.
I am so sick of the safe spaces conversation. Don't talk to me about safe spaces when your campus is...
Well, we haven't brought this up. Like, it's funny to see the Jews these days. They are showing their strong conservative instinct. Like, suddenly they're all over safe spaces and even identitarian nationalism. And it's like, well, we were talking about this subject 5 years ago and we were getting censored by Jews. Now, you suddenly like these subjects. Why? Well, it's because there is a perceived link between safe spaces and the pro-Palestinian crowd. So suddenly they don't like them.
These are literally unsafe. These college administrators, and you know, it's the oppression Olympics, Joe. It's the oppression Olympics where you either play oppressor or oppressed. And in this victimology madness, Jews are somehow put at the bottom.
What? What did you just say? The Jews are the everyday winner of the oppression Olympics forever. This makes no sense. The Jews have played victim for decades. They go back in the past 80 years and they find some reason why they are now entitled to some violent action. Stephen Robinson says, Jews are the oppressors and the victims. Yeah, but he frames the Jews as being at the bottom of the oppressed Olympics. The Jews are at the top of the oppressed Olympics, and in fact, it's getting annoying.
But here's the thing, Joe. I am so tired of the cowardice. I am so tired of the weakness. So university presence, I am looking right at you. If you violate Title VI and you make your students unsafe, ADL is coming for you. If you create environments where Jewish students are hostile, are being harassed, being targeted, I got news for you. You may have a moral weakness, but you also have a fiduciary responsibility to protect your institutions. And look, whether you're going to lose tens of millions of donor dollars, and you will, or you lose hundreds of millions in federal funding because you lose Title VI, and you will, we are coming for you.
What the fuck? This is unhinged. He's telling the university directors, basically, if you don't set up the conversation in a way as to protect the Jews of your university, if you don't give them a standing of safe spaces and protection from the pro-Palestinian crowds, and in fact, protection from even the discourse of pro-Palestinian people, because at this point we have certain sayings on the side of the pro-Palestine crowd that are being characterized as hate speech when in fact they aren't. So we are at that level where Jonathan Greenblatt is saying, if you don't protect our Jewish students against speech on your campus, speech from the pro-Palestinian people. We're going to get at you, and we're going to get at you through lawfare and going after your donors, because all of your donors are Jewish. Well, 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 it looks like the Jews have lost control of the academia, and I'm here for it. And despite the fact that I'm quite sick today, I can't help but enjoy what I see happening here. I mean, this is an unhinged, uncontrolled Jonathan Greenblatt. Why does he have to yell at like this on a leftist media like MSNBC? It's ridiculous. The Spectator Index breaking. I mean, this is so crazy. The Israelis are so unhinged these days that I agree with Emmanuel Macron. France's Macron says there is no lasting security for Israel in the region if its security is achieved at the cost of Palestinian lives. Boom. Have I not been saying these words for the last 2 weeks? From the very beginning, from October 7th, in fact, it's been a month now, very close to a month. Since October 7th, I'm reminding people, even if Israel accomplishes everything they want, which is a complete eradication of Gaza and perhaps eventually the West Bank, even if they reach their full goal, they're not safer. They're not in a safer place. And so it's incredible to see them go so hard at it when in fact all of this will be remembered by Muslim populations when the time for judgment comes, and there will be a time for judgment. So rare Macron win, says AN. Yes, it's one of those rare cases where Macron is absolutely correct. And at this point, we have, you know, Western governments that normally would have just kneeled to Israel. We have Macron saying, hey, Israel, you know, you're going a little too far here. We have Justin Trudeau. Hey, Israel, you're going a little too far here. At this point, there is really one entity behind Israel, and it's the entity that is fully controlled and occupied by Jewish interests, which is the American government. DK Shadow says, vengeance comes when you least expect it. Yeah, the thing is, the Muslim countries around Israel will maybe let it pass for some time, but there is a point at which they will perceive an Israeli weakness. Imagine the scenario, for example. America gets entangled into a Taiwan-China conflict. Now, suddenly, they don't have much time to think about Israel. What do you think the Irans of this world do? What do you think the other small countries, the small groups of terrorists around Israel do? Suddenly, they have a target that they can easily strike. It's a highly populated area. All they have is their Iron Dome, but with some degree of technological advancement, it can be pierced. You have a target, an easy target, that cannot be defended by America anymore. I think something like this will happen. They will wait for a moment where America has its attention outside, and they will strike. Black Tie sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, have you seen what Alex Jones is up to now? InfoWars Christmas sale. Okay, let's have a look at what that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a whole lot of products that we got to get out of here by the end of the year, and I got time to fuck with it. So I need you guys to get these the fuck out of here. We're giving them away at great prices, and you're not even going to fucking...
Well, that is AI modified. And even if you send me money, please never send me AI-modified content. That is deceptive. I'm not interested at even seeing it because it's a joke disguised as reality. And I am totally allergic to to this. Fuck AI content. Fuck deceptive parody. Fuck the people who add fucks to the mouth of Alex Jones through AI. Michael Saylor's strategy, MicroStrategy Bitcoin investment is now at a $1.6 billion unrealized profit. Fascinating to see this man who has invested everything in Bitcoin and he's now in the billions of profit and the bull run hasn't even begun. The bull run hasn't even begun and I'm not even sure he wants to sell at the top of this one because it's clear that Michael Saylor has adopted a long-term strategy. And it's very possible that he aims at selling more like in 4 years or in 8 years from now. So I don't know what he's going to do. It would be fascinating to see Michael Saylor huddle for decades and be successful at it. Up to now, he's been extremely successful. House passes a bill to permanently freeze $6 billion in Iranian funds. That is super worrying in terms of the fairness of the bank system. And you have these other countries, they cannot trust the US because if they somehow are perceived to be aligned with either a major thing like Iran and terrorism or even a minor thing like the truckers and the anti-vaccine contestations, you know that this money is worth nothing because it can be taken away from you by a bunch of politicians. If it's not taken from you by a judge, if it's not taken from you by an ex. So money isn't worth anything anymore. Buy Bitcoin or else you'll eventually have your money seized because somehow you said hi to an Iranian person. Justin, President Biden receives a community note after claiming inflation was 0% last month. Inflation was 0% last month and our economy grew by more than 5% last quarter. Bidenomics! The Bidenomics are wrong. Maybe what he was trying to say is that inflation hasn't increased. But it's like being in a car that's going at 100 miles an hour, headed toward a brick wall, and saying, don't worry, our current acceleration is zero. Okay, well, we're not accelerating, but we're already at a considerable speed, and there's a brick wall coming. It seems like we're going to die. John Drake says, I've done extremely well with MicroStrategy this year, better than BTC itself. Oh, well, I'm happy for you. To me, buying MicroStrategy is not benefiting from the true advantage that Bitcoin is, which is you're not in the mainstream economy. But if it works for you, then I'm happy for you. Silver Spider says, hey, Jeff, I'm seeing so many normies in support of going hard on Gaza that I believe these leaders that criticize Israel getting voted out soon once the Jewish money starts flowing. Could this accidentally set the West in the direction of the Republicans again like 9/11 did? I'm having difficulty fully understanding your theory. These leaders that criticize Israel are getting voted out soon. Once the Jewish money... So you're thinking that the left, the left having its issue with siding with war, that this may precipitate a fully Zionist Republican win in the same way 9/11 fully precipitated a fully Zionist Republican warmongering party. I think that is correct. That is correct. That basically the schism that is currently stemming within the left on the axis of anti-war, pro-war, Zionism, anti-Zionism, Muslim votes, or Jewish money, basically. That is a very fertile ground to cause a an appreciation of the Republican chances to win. So I agree with your theory fully, and it could help end up being a springboard for Trump. Jan sends $1,000. Wow, he sends $999. Thank you so much, Jan. That is very generous of you. He says, woke up a lot wealthier today, so here's the JFG tax. Well, thank you so much. So whenever you see your wealth growing, you have this concept of sending me a share. That is extremely appreciated, Jan. Jan has always been a very generous donor to this show. And I think it's really great. I appreciate you, Jan, and I hope that your projects and your wealth are growing beautifully. Lendold Guntram says, that is not the point. Already now, it is almost impossible to distinguish between human and AI output given certain conditions, and it is going to get much worse rather quickly, likely within the next couple years. Yes, there will be a blurring between AI and humans and who has produced what. Go Away says, JF is taxing unrealized capital gains. He's worse than Biden at this point. Yes, but as you see, it all happened voluntarily. Jan has imposed a tax on himself by his choice. I am the government that Jan has chosen to be a citizen of. Very weird, very worrying scenes of the Israeli army here. They are taking prisoners that are blindfolded, and they're bringing them into a fully bombed out building. It looks like they are headed for execution. See, you see a prisoner here, blindfold on his face, so he doesn't know where he's being brought. And you see the soldiers walking them in, one prisoner after the other. Why would you bring people into such a desolated building, totally destroyed? That is extremely worrying. It looks like they are headed to be executed, which would be a violation of war crime. And then as they have entered all of the prisoners, the truck leaves, the truck that delivered these prisoners. And then we can see there's a soldier that stood out of the building that's kind of checking around. It looks like they are looking at doing some dirty stuff here in the building, whether it's execution or torture. I hope that we get an explanation for what's happening here. A missile strike, the Iron Dome of Israel has malfunctioned, and they are striking themselves with their missiles here. You will see a missile veer and fall onto Tel Aviv. So you see this missile has done a curved route and is going to fall into the city. All right, so sometimes the Iron Dome malfunctions. Americans couldn't care less about Christmas markets. Even though most Western and many other countries around the world observe Christmas as a public or religious holiday, the traditions differ widely not only from region to region, but also from country to country. Yes, I don't think it's particularly interesting to have these open sky markets. I think to me, it doesn't tie to the actual Christmas and what it's supposed to celebrate. And it's a commercial thing, and it opens to potential victimization. Like we've seen, the Christmas parade was targeted by a black man driving a SUV for basically targeting Christians. So I do believe that it's better to get rid of these outside traditions, celebrate Christmas around the family and the church, and that is what truly matters. New CDC director defends vaccine mandates and school closures. The new director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on November 30 defended COVID-era policies like vaccine mandates in her first appearance before Congress. I feel like we did that in a way that was very inclusive. Oh my God, it's not getting better when they stand with their errors. But of course, it's expected. I didn't expect anyone who's going to rise in this field is going to be from the COVID era and is going to be some medical fascist from the times where they impose stuff onto the population. So they're all going to be pro. They're not going to have a revisionist view of their intervention. They're all going to stand by it. We see a desperate man here, a veteran from the army, who appears he wanted to commit suicide or he was in a depressive moment. He says to the policeman, "Can I get a hug?" Say something, I'm giving up. Why do you add music to this stuff?
Come on, boss. What's going on?
I'm on the phone with the VA hotline.
Okay.
For suicide. All
right. Hey. Well, I got you, man, all right? What branch are you in?
Army.
Army? Yeah. All right. Hey, my name's Kyle. All right? We'll help you out. All right, bud? I'm here with you. I'm here with you, all right? I'm going to send an ambulance over here to us, okay? All right, bud? Hey, no. Hey. If I send you, it's nothing on you, okay? State of Connecticut covers that. All right? Can we step out of the car, boss? Just so we can talk? Yeah. Hey, 26. Yeah, come in front of your truck, bud.
Hey, 20.
Starting an ambulance to the 6-8 off-ramp eastbound. I'm with a vet.
This guy has a pickup truck. I will never have a pickup truck. I will never have the money to buy this huge truck.
He's on the suicide hotline. You're the
one. Here's my ID.
Sorry, man. Hey, you have anything on you?
No.
Okay, can you drive by check in? Cool. Any deployments, bud?
One.
Okay, dude. It's a tough time for everyone in your position, all right? Relax, though. Hey, I'm here with you, okay?
Come here. Have a hug.
Well, if I was the policeman, I would have introduced the subject of Israel and you realize that this deployment was a total loss of your time, that you got exploited by lies. But I guess perhaps it's better to wait for him to stop crying. Silver Spider says, yeah, so this guy will be put in a psych ward now and pumped full of pills because the cop brought him in. Yeah, exactly. That's what you have to be careful with. This whole, oh, it's going to be free ambulance. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's free because you are basically being put against your consent into a psychiatric ward where your liberation will depend on the opinion of the psychiatrist. And you could spend the rest of your life in the psychiatric ward. If the psychiatrist is convinced that you're lying when you say, I'm doing better now, you're going to stay forever in the psychiatric ward. So be careful, you are totally abandoning your rights when that happens. I mean, this guy was probably so into a state of despair that, you know, does it really matter whether he abandons his right? He was about to commit suicide. But if you are capable of handling it and if your state of distress is not to that level, be extremely careful about saying you want to commit suicide. It's a total abandonment of your rights in most jurisdictions. And you're going to get free hospital, but you know when you're coming in, you'll never know when you come out. Blackwater Park says Jeff has a 0% success rate talking vets out of suicide. You know, you're totally right. I'm not the right guy to send to these calls. You are absolutely correct. I do not claim that I would do a better job at saving them from suicide. What I'm saying is, while the guy is emotional, why not try to inject a red-pilling truth into him? That would be kind of funny and perhaps good for him in the long run. I mean, look at Lucas Gage. He's doing great, and he has taken the red pill on the reason he got deployed and on the reason the American army is being manipulated. Medinal Woes says, again, he shows a lack of self-awareness. It's really astonishing. Gad Sahad was saying, noble immigrant, please, please, please let me into your beautiful country. I just want a chance at a better life. The West, okay, welcome in. Noble immigrant, 15 seconds after being in the host country. This country is disgusting. I will protest against it. I will march in support of the ideology from which I escaped. I hate this society. I hate its values. I hate its freedoms. I hate everything about this place. Long live the society from which I escaped. The West, this is wonderful. The best way to move forward is to grant entry into millions of people who hate our societies. It will all work out because of progressive empathy. Well, it's all good. It's all good to understand the problem of immigration and bringing in people who hate your country. But the problem is, Gad Sahad is one of these people who's increasingly disliking our countries. And he's disliking our countries because of the bringing in of an absolutely foreign conflict into our nations. A conflict that we shouldn't have had a bit of care for the last 100 years. It should have never become a question of so much importance, what's happening between Israel and Gaza and whatever. But we have imported this conflict in full. And hopefully one day it goes away. Hopefully one day the only people who care about Israel-Gaza is people who live in Gaza and people who live in Israel. As a last news item tonight, because I wanted to do a relatively short show, Dead Star says, hey Jeff, there's a young British YouTuber going by the name of Stephen J. James. I remember that name, Stephen J. James. He was on the regular chat here. He says, who I think is on the he is a longtime follower of yours, and I think he is on the precipice of abandoning his old life and jumping ahead, headfirst, into life as a right-wing commentator. Do you have any advice or encouragement for the future dissident? Well, I don't remember exactly Stephen J. James, what he was saying, but I remember the name, seeing him a lot on Super Chats and chats. You know, there was a guy that was preparing for a modern day debate, and I spoke to him in private, and he was saying, how do you survive? How do you get a job once everyone knows your name and your face? And I was like, no, you don't get it. There's no having a job. once you go public commentary in politics, and especially dissident and opposed to the Israeli axis, you're done for the rest of your life. You lose a lot of rights, you lose a lot of possibilities, and you certainly won't have a job at a normie place. You may have a job with your uncle who knows you, and he gets you into a a position that no one will see you. But you, it will be through friends. If you have a job or through contract work where you don't reveal your identity. But it's basically finished, this idea that you can use your name and get some work. So I would say that to Stephen J. James. If you do make the jump, be sure that you have plenty of resources in advance, that you have more than you need. Don't be just on the, I need this month's salary to survive. Be on the outlook for the future. Be on, I know how I would survive for the next 6 months or the whole year, even if I was to have zero income. That is how you have to think. And Bitcoin is your friend in this case. And being clever about your Bitcoin investment and trying to sell at the right time and buy at the right time, that will allow you, alongside the money that you make in super chats and commentary, that will allow you to have long-term sustainability. So, yeah, I don't have much to say as a counseling other than follow your heart and follow what you are convinced is the greatest quality content and follow what people like and never forget that this job is not about expressing your emotions. It's not about expressing how you think. It's about producing thought for the other. That's a market. You are producing something that someone else wants. It doesn't matter how you feel in your heart. It's not necessarily interesting how you feel in your heart. It doesn't matter that you have this idea or that idea. What matters is, can you produce something that people want to consume? That is the only standard by which you can have success in this field. Great Ape says, what happened to Mama JF? I saw something in the news about her. Well, Mama JF, my last news of her is that they are looking for her. They are, she has not been seen or found by any of this investigation, and so we are still in the same state we were a few months ago, which is that Mama JF has disappeared. That is it. Last news item before we close the show. But each day, the current state of the world dissuades me more and more from having children. Like many folks in Gen Z, those born between 1997 and 2012, my main concern is climate change. A whole text has been written in CNN Opinion, and it's the whole argument of, I don't want to have kids because I want to save the environment, basically. And that my counter to this, and people have said, Jeff, this should be named something, and it's true. We should give a name to this argument of, I won't have babies because climate change. Of course, it's probably a paranoia. You know, there's no sign that humans will not outlive any climate crisis we can cause. Because you have to think in terms of feedback mechanism. Like, these people think, oh, all of humanity will die. But it's like, well, imagine 99% of humanity dies. The 1% left certainly won't be producing much CO2, right? And there will be mechanism to bring back the CO2 into solid form, like trees. And so whatever nature does, there's always a return. There's always a pendulum swing back in the other direction. But my ultimate argument to this argument, you guys may have heard it many times because I've talked about it. You cannot slow down population growth by refusing to have babies. All you're doing is leaving more space and resources to less conscientious people. If you believe in climate catastrophism the only rational path is maximal insemination, so that you populate the next generation with more environmentally conscientious people like yourself. I don't want to grant the climate alarmism because I think it's totally exaggerated. I think we will survive. We would survive even an increase of 10 degrees Celsius. In my view, humanity would survive. Maybe it would involve living under the ground. Maybe it would involve some complex AC systems. And maybe life would be extremely painful and extremely modified. But I think we can prevail. We can prevail an increase of 10 degrees Celsius average of planet Earth. And that is pretty much the thing that the alarmists are saying is the target. I think they are exaggerating. But if you want to believe this, if you want to believe that we are totally in a messed up planet, which I don't see any sign of. I walk around and I see forests, I see animals. Of course, I see a human overpopulation. We occupy way too much surface of this earth. We should withdraw and leave more to nature. But overall, I don't see a dying planet. I see a thriving planet with life forms, with infinite amount of food for humans, with all sorts of technologies to make our lives less costly and more efficient. I mean, just in the span of my life, you know, just in the span of living here for the last 5 years, I've switched from heating oil to a heat pump. And right now, we're in December. It's getting super cold, but the heating pump is all that's working. I have not had to use my heating oil except for 3 times, where I just turned it on for like 3 minutes. Turned it back off because I wanted to give a puff of heat. But basically, and the heat pump is operating at much less cost and much less CO2 emissions, I'm sure. We keep improving. And I don't see the catastrophic scenario that these young people have been basically brainwashed with. You have to be brainwashed to look at the planet right now and think it's not worth making babies in. Are you kidding me? We are a very developed civilization. It's a beautiful world to be born in. There's a lot of shit and crap out there, but you can totally protect your children from this. Go Away says, I think the real psychological reason for this anti-natalist phenomenon in women is a lack of stable community in their lives. Everything they say is BS rationalization. Yes, I think it has to do with the larval stage cycle. You know, in evolution, we have very important equations that determine when a larva decides, okay, I've accumulated enough energy, enough growth, it's time for me to move to adult stage. And for something like a lamprey that lives under the sand as a larva, and then it goes as a fish into the water when it becomes an adult. For a lamprey to make that decision, it can be anywhere between 2 to 7 years. So basically, they will do 2 years if they have plenty of food and they had super growth rates, and they will wait up to 7 years if the food was too rare, if they had more time, they needed more time to prepare their body to undergo this transformation and invest into their final reproductive act. I believe that the equations, the mathematical equations that determine larval stage transition to adulthood in these life forms, including insects of all kinds and lampreys, they apply to this antinatalism of the modern female. I believe that the modern antinatalist female is getting a false signal. She's misfiring. She's misfiring because she's in a state of distress. That is false. Basically, the world is comfortable enough for her to have all the babies she wants. But her genes are looking for certain signs in the environment to determine their safety. And the genes aren't seeing these signs. They aren't seeing a stable social world. They aren't seeing a stable family, extended family environment. They aren't seeing the local environment of being strongly in contact with your own small family because everyone is at work. So they're getting all these signals that, hey, you're basically surviving on sands right now. And it's not even true. The reality is we have plenty of food. We have a woman becomes pregnant, let me tell you, she can ask for help on the streets and people will just kneel at her. They will bring her for free to the hospital. Like, you have a lot of people caring for you if you're pregnant. Yet, I believe the genes, they're looking for cues that they can't find. And it's just that the modern world doesn't provide those cues. That's really too bad. Because instead of providing those cues, we have taken the radical discourse of, say, of almost religious intimidation about hell. And we've taken it and we've inserted it into the liberal thinking system. And we've transferred it to the environment. And so we are convincing young people that they live in a toxic environment. The fact is, you probably live in a better environment than 3 decades ago. Your parents and grandparents, let's say if you're my age, about 40 years old, your parents and grandparents are probably the generation that will be most exposed to lead ever in the history of humanity. Because there's so much that we discover that, oh yeah, it's better to make pipes, to make water pipes with copper rather than lead. So yes, things are improving. And yet these children, they get these dramatic, hellish type of discourse from their elementary school teacher. And their body doesn't know how to react, so it says, let's stay as a larva for a little more. Thank you.